The strain that Sydney's COVID outbreak is putting on the city's hospitals is becoming clearer every day. 250 COVID patients are in hospitals spread across the New South Wales capital. 53 people are currently in ICU. One of the hospitals involved is St Vincent's in Darlinghurst. Dr Paul Price is the medical director of the hospital's emergency department. Dr Price, welcome to AM. When patients turn up to emergency with suspected COVID, you've got red and green zones. How does that work to ensure that people aren't infected with COVID?
We're trying to identify as early as possible that there might be a risk of COVID. And if there is, we've actually got physically separate areas now. And we've had that for a while. And the areas are controlled in as much as they have an entry and an exit, which are separate. They've got a safety officer checking that only people who should be in there go in there. And we've got lots of protocols around infection control and as many steps as we possibly can take to make sure the patients are safe, both from each other and from any staff who aren't supposed to be in there. So it's a very controlled environment.
Working in ICU, even in normal times, I'd imagine is pretty stressful. But how are you coping given the extra constraints, given how transmissible the virus is?
Yeah, it's very difficult. I've been in emergency medicine for 40 years and there's never been anything quite like this. The staff have been amazing. There's been a lot of training and retraining. There's been a lot of planning for what to do as we go through the various stages we've been through. And it's been a very sort of strange period in history. Many of the people I know have very little to do except work and go home and work and go home. So it's a very intense and stressful period, and it seems to be going on for quite a while.
Mm. And what are some of the challenges that you're having to confront?
Well, I think there's a lot in the clinical management of patients who might have or do have COVID. It's a difficult disease. It's not like there's a magic cure. There's a number of drugs that we now find are quite useful, and there are some techniques in how to manage patients who do have COVID that are proving to be successful. So there are some technical challenges in just learning how to manage a new disease. There's a lot of challenge in getting staff trained and getting people to follow new protocols that didn't exist not that long ago. And there are challenges in the way we deal with patients. It's very hard to talk to people behind masks and with protective gear on. And it gets even harder when you can't get relatives and carers and those who would normally be there to support patients. They just can't come in. So there are a lot of sort of unusual circumstances around this new and quite difficult disease.
And just on that point, the fact that relatives can't come in and visit and comfort these patients, does staff feel an extra emotional burden?
It's really tough because it's in the nature of a lot of people who work in health that they're carers, they want to support and to help. And it's one of the hardest things to say, look, I just can't let them in, particularly when people are critically ill, particularly when it's unexpected sometimes. And I think that's something that, you know, we're getting to understand ways of using the technology we've got. We have various iPads and so on that we try and use, but there's nothing like human touch, and I think that's very hard when we have to say to people, I'm really sorry, we just can't do that. And most people are understanding. Occasionally you get families who have a lot of trouble with emotions and get upset and it gets quite so difficult. But, you know, all in all, I think most people are doing their absolute best in what's really a very difficult sort of disease and what's a difficult time.
And how are you dealing with the surge of cases that you're experiencing right now? You've got younger patients compared with the wave that you had last year with older people.
Yeah, it's quite different. We're getting a broad spectrum. We still get oldies. We've got quite a few. But we're also getting younger and younger people. And they're coming in with quite serious illness by the time we get to them. There are folk who are asymptomatic in community. They get diagnosed and then they deteriorate maybe a week after infections first started. And it's actually quite a different experience. And the sheer numbers there's quite a lot. We're seeing quite a few. And I know Prince Alfred and some of the other big hospitals are seeing an awful lot of patients and they're managing them in really novel ways. There are quite sort of new systems in place, particularly with the telehealth and the hospital in the home type system. Because there are just that many people, we couldn't have them all in hospital. And I think that whole process has evolved very quickly. So we're learning all these new things and to a large extent, I think they're working pretty well.
Dr. Price, most of your patients, I take it, are unvaccinated. What do you say to those who doubt the efficacy of vaccines?
Yeah, I'm a little surprised because I guess as doctors and healthcare staff, we look at the data and most of us say, look, there's just no question here. The vaccines are really safe and they work really well. And the risks of not having them are really sort of significant. So for me and for many healthcare workers, it's a really straightforward decision. There's a broad range of reasons why people might be vaccine reluctant, and some of them are, I can't really comment on. But I'm a little sort of, I would have liked the way it was presented, and people could have weighed it up more, in a more balanced way if the numbers were easier to understand. But I suppose for some people, even the tiniest risk can't be framed in a way that they find okay. And honestly, comparing the risk of everyday activities, we make all these decisions all the time that involve a little bit of risk, often much more risk than a vaccine, and we don't even think about it. But for this particular thing, unfortunately, there are some folk who've latched onto that and feel like they just can't bring themselves to have the vaccine. And I think that's a really, it's hard for anyone who deals with data and numbers to understand that. But I guess that's just human nature. People look at the evidence and they make decisions that aren't always the way you would expect them to be. I'm hoping that as it becomes clearer, as we get more and more supportive data, people will look at this in a more balanced way and say, look, the risks are tiny and the benefits are really enormous. So I'm hoping that we'll turn a lot of people around.
Doctor, thank you for your work and thank you for talking to us this morning.
My pleasure. Thank you.